We made this.
Doctor Who podcast for the We Made This podcast network. I'm Baz Greenland, and I'm joined in my adventure through time and space by my son Ben, who I'm pretty certain is the biggest Doctor Who fan this side of Gallifrey. How are you doing, Ben?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks.
Yeah, in this podcast, we're going to look at the show from the classic year of 1963 through to 1989, a TV movie, and the modern revival, which began back in 2005 now, so a while. But we're not just here to talk about the show as well, are we? We're big, big Doctor Who fans, and we're going to delve into wider Doctor Who adventures, you know, the books, audios, and so much more as well. So, in this primary episode, we want to give listeners a taste of what's to come on the TARDIS crew. I think, as I said, Ben and I, we've been fans of Doctor Who for several years now. I think, Ben, you're about 10 years now?
Yeah, around about then, I think.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yes. Obviously, Ben now being 15, and you may recognise the names because we both review Big Finish Doctor Who audios for the We Made This Network as well. So you'll find our names on there. So Ben and I, we review together, don't we? So we're quite big fans of the Big Finish content they're producing.
Indeed, yes. We definitely do review quite a lot and enjoy a lot of it.
So yeah, we're huge fans of Doctor Who, and we're not just the current era of the show. We've got pretty much almost nearly every episode on DVD, you know, going all the way back to 63. You know, we love it all, I think. Some more than others, and there's a lot there to love, but I think we're big fans. So Ben, why don't you tell us first how you got into Doctor Who and your love for the show?
Well, see, it's a funny thing, because actually it was your fault, accidentally. Years ago, like probably around about the 10-year mark now, I was just casually going upstairs, walked into his room, and there he was watching Full Circle Part 2 on DVD. And I don't remember if he asked me to stay or I just wanted to, but I remember sitting and watching quite a bit of it. I've got a lot of the vivid memories of the Fourth Doctor and K-9 walking through a swamp is the first memory I have, and then I also remember quite clearly the first time watching the scene towards the end with Romana and the spiders hatching from the eggs, and then since then I've just been a fan, watched it on and off, and got more into it as the years went on, and now it's my favourite thing.
Yep, I'd say it's an obsession, I would say, there.
Well, I can't deny that.
So, Full Circle, Tom Baker's Full Circle is your taster of Doctor Who there. So I pretty much got into it myself with the revival in 2005, so it was a whole year before Ben was born, so that can give you a sense of how old Ben is now. So, I watched some as a kid. I remember McCoy. I remember The Curse of Fenric. I remember the vampire girls coming out of the water, and I remember the cheetah people from Survivor as well. So I've got a few memories there. I must have watched some of Sylvester McCoy as a kid. I did actually watch the TV movie live. I remember watching the Paul McGann TV movie live when it came out in 96, and then got into it from 2005 when Christopher Eccleston returned. Been a fan ever since. And I think, yeah, your talk of Full Circle, where I think I thought, well, you know, there's so much more Doctor Who here. So got a couple of DVDs. I think I started with Curse of Fenric and Genesis of the Daleks and Pyramids of Mars. I mean, you know, big episodes to start with there, and just started collecting and getting more and more Doctor Who. And then you've joined me now, and I think you've got quite a decent classic Doctor Who DVD collection as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have now officially watched every episode ever broadcast of the show through way of animation, just episodes on DVD or iPlay or whatever, and even sitting through quite a few hours of photo reconstructions for the Lost Hartnell and Troughton ones, which was a task, but it was still enjoyable, and I now have that sense of completion.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I haven't seen every episode. I'm a big, big Doctor Who fan, and that's the great thing about this podcast. There's so much to discuss, you know, just on the TV show alone, let alone the books and the audios and everything else, which we can get into as well. So, yeah, your commitment is pretty amazing, I think, there. You know, I would say I've comfortably watched over three quarters, maybe four fifths of everything that's been made on Doctor Who on TV. I haven't sat through all the reconstructions, perhaps some of the episode three of The Web of Fear and some of the interesting The Underwater Menace as well. We watched through some of that as well, haven't we? But there's a lot there to do to watch still. And that's great, you know, you keep going back to Doctor Who and watch new ones. But I'd say your knowledge of Doctor Who is pretty vast these days.
Yep, I have ascended to a higher plane.
Absolutely. So, we talked a bit about how we got into Doctor Who there. Ben, what is your favourite Doctor?
Matt Smith. Yeah, always has been, pretty much as long as I can remember. Well, I say that. I remember David Tennant watching him, like, in a backlog in around 2011, maybe. And then, towards the end of his episodes, I started Matt Smith. And since then, he's just been my favourite. Although I do have to say, while Smith is my favourite Doctor, I believe Capaldi is the best Doctor we've ever had.
Wow. Good statement there. Yeah, so you got into Matt Smith during his run, Watch It Live, didn't you?
Yes, I did indeed. Because I remember by the time Asylum of the Daleks rolled around in 2012, I'd seen almost all of the previous 11th Doctor stories on TV, I believe.
Yeah, so yeah, we caught up, yeah. So I'd like to bring up something to date. Matt Smith is my second favourite Doctor. He's the best of the modern Doctor Who for me. And Peter Capaldi is pretty amazing too. For me, it's Tom Baker. Going back, you know, I'm really getting into the classic Tom Baker and the Philip Hinchcliffe era of Doctor Who. You know, there are so many amazing stories. I could fill my top 10 stories with Tom Baker stories from his first three seasons alone. So yeah, Tom Baker's my favourite, with I'd say Matt Smith a close second and Capaldi up there as well. So what is your favourite episode or story in Doctor Who?
If we say episode, it's going to have to be Heaven Sent.
Good choice.
Just look at that episode and the phenomenal acting from Capaldi alone through those 45 minutes. And the writing from Stephen Moffat and the score from Murray Gold. It's just beautiful. But if we go stories, my knowledge is so extensive with all the other mediums I've seen, my favourite story of Doctor Who there's ever been is an audio called The Art of Death, produced by BBC Audio during Matt Smith's run, written by James Goss.
Wow. That's a good statement itself. You're looking at many people, 15-year-olds, they're claiming some pictures of their favourite Doctor Who, so pretty amazing. Yeah, and it's a great Big Finish, and we're looking forward to, we do review a lot of the Big Finish. You'll find our reviews on the site, and we've been listening to Big Finish now for a few years, haven't we? And we'll definitely get into some of those. But I think for me, my favorite story, I guess Tom Baker, it's the Seeds of Doom. I love the Seeds of Doom. It's the Doctor and Sarah together, and it's this, how do you describe it? It's almost, it's a thing meets Dear the Triffids, and it's just an astounding, it's a six-part story that really makes use of a six-part runtime. So yeah, for me, it's the Seeds of Doom.
Interesting discussion, thoughts, stuff.
So, your favourite Doctor Who memory?
I'd say I probably have to have two. One of which being in 2013, when I was really young, maybe 10, maybe younger.
In 2013, so you would have been I can't count now.
Maybe.
You'd have been eight at the time, yeah.
And going to the cinema and watching The Day of the Doctor live in 3D, dressed as the 11th Doctor in cosplay with a whole room full of fans cheering and gasping, especially when Capaldi's eyebrows flash up for the first time and then Tom Baker appearing as the curator at the end. But the one memory I have that tops that is back on Saturday, the 23rd of September, 2017, going to a Comic-Con in a building, ironically, exactly opposite the cinema I watched Day of the Doctor in, where I got to, finally, for the first time, meet one of the Doctors.
Two of the Doctors?
Indeed, yes, which was Sylvester McCoy, predominantly, and then I also talked with Colin Baker a bit and got a photo with them, went to their talks, dressed up. But I just remember speaking to McCoy at the desk and having a proper conversation with him. And it was just such a surreal experience.
You've pretty much stolen my two as well. I'm going to say, so I'm going to pick a slightly random one, I think. If I go for watching Doctor Who, I think my favourite memory is probably watching The 11th Hour and seeing Matt Smith come on with the whole fish cutter scene, and David Tennant was so good as the Doctor, and you immediately thought, how is it going to be topped? Once the fish cutter scene was done, that was it. Matt Smith was my absolutely favourite Doctor of the modern Doctors. And yeah, I think that was a great thing to watch. I remember watching it and just feeling, wow, this is going to be good. I think you're right, absolutely. Seeing Doctor at the cinema, seeing Day of the Doctor at the cinema with this packed audience, half of them in costume as well, was amazing. And it wasn't just the eyebrows bit when there were no 13 Doctors on the Day of Doctor. It's the entire audience just letting rip with a huge cheer, and it was such an amazing experience. I think we're never going to quite get that Doctor Who experience again. So that was pretty great too. And yeah, you're absolutely right about meeting Sylvester McCoy and Colin Baker. We reached out much to Colin Baker, did we? But Sylvester McCoy, and for me, it was my other child was dressed up as Ace, and I had a really, really great Ace jacket at the back with a red A. We were stood probably quite a few feet away from, about 10 feet away from Sylvester McCoy, but there was no one at the desk where he was signing autographs at the time. And just from across the room, this big room in broad Scottish accent, "Ace!" as Sylvester McCoy just locked eyes on us and shouted that across the room. And then, of course, that was the invitation to go and chat to him. And it was such a great, great fun experience. So, what do you love most about Doctor Who?
Well, at the best of times, the fan base can be such a nice place to be, coming together, creating stories like the whole Doctor Who lockdown event of 2020, which I took part in quite predominantly, and then also just the creative freedom this show has, all the mediums and content we get, the freedom to explore all sorts of ideas you wouldn't see in many other TV shows. Like, in what other TV show would you see a robot made of sweets in the middle of a Margaret Thatcher takedown parody?
Absolutely great. Yeah, and that's what I love about Doctor Who. It has some great stories to tell. And yeah, this whole thing about Doctor Who's got too political, well, no, it's always been political, particularly you look at the 80s, but now all the way through Doctor Who, it's had social and moral message to deliver, you know, the great storytelling. And the same way that Star Trek does, I think. He does a really good job of telling some very clever stories that have a really good, strong moral message through very creative ways. So, yeah, I think absolutely right. I think the fact that you can have a murder mystery one episode, then a horror episode the next, then a comedy, then a big bombastic action one. Each story can be so different, and when it's good, it just takes you by surprise. You never know what you're going to get each week. So I think that's definitely the real big selling point of Doctor Who. And just the idea that it can reinvent itself. You know, the regeneration is such a bonkers and amazing and brilliant concept. It allows the show to stay fresh year after year after year. And of course, as we're recording this now, we now know that Chibnall and Whittaker are on the way out and we're coming to the end of the 13th Doctor era, and there's more to come, and it's really exciting to know what's Doctor Who going to be like. It could be a completely different show, it could be better, it could be worse, but that's kind of exciting about it in a way. So we talked a lot about the TV show as well, but I think you've definitely tapped into Big Finish. So what other Doctor Who mediums do you like, Ben? What do you enjoy?
Yes, Big Finish definitely is phenomenal in the output it produces. As with everything, it can be sometimes a bit hit or miss, or stories that don't quite work. But then you have the sort of talented team of writers, and look at the more experimental output of the earlier years and the collection of Doctors they're amassing, the amount of spin-offs. And then not to mention the comics and the books, which are produced quite regularly, providing stories which can be told over quite a longer time.
Mm.
Based on the format that it's being told in.
Yeah, I think you were. I mean, there were so many books and comics and stuff out there as well. That's one thing I really liked about the Time Lord Victorious that came out last year, was they were telling stories, everything from comics to animated series to the back of a T-shirt. You know, there were so many great ways of telling stories. And I do admit I love Big Finish work. I was talking about another podcast with Tony a while back, and it reinvents Doctors, you know, the Sixth Doctor and the Eighth Doctor particularly. And I'm quite excited to get into this actually on discussions.
Indeed.
In future podcasts, talking about some of the Big Finish work, because there's so much great work. The Sixth Doctor is one of the best on Big Finish. And I think some people love Sixth Doctor on TV, some people hate him, but I think there's generally a sense it was never Doctor at his best. Whereas on audio, some of the Sixth Doctor content is absolutely superb. I think the Eighth Doctor as well. Most people only know the Eighth Doctor was that one TV movie and then that mini special on the 50th, but there's so much Eighth Doctor, and I think we're going to talk about the Eighth Doctor pretty soon, aren't we?
Indeed we are.
Yeah. So yeah, lots of great stuff in the Big Finish there as well. And I think I'm not as much into the books as you are, but I'm sure we can delve into some of that content too in future podcasts. So, I think we're coming to the end of our primer then. A couple more questions for you. What is your most controversial opinion about Doctor Who?
Well, I have quite a few. But if you want a selection, take pure historicals. I absolutely despise as stories most of the time.
Ooh.
I love The Rings of Akaten, Nightmare and Silver, and Series 7B as a whole, and the dynamic between the 11th Doctor and Clara. I don't like the First Doctor that much. I love Time Lash. Delta and the Bannermen is hugely underrated, and more.
Yeah, I'm sure there are many, many opinions that you're going to bring to our Doctor Who discussions in the future. I don't know if I really have controversial opinions. I think that's a hard one, really, isn't it? I think I don't like the 10th Doctor and Rose. I know that's probably quite controversial in a way that people love that dynamic. I have no problem with Romance Doctor 2, and actually I really like the River Song 11th Doctor dynamic, and with the 12th Doctor as well.
Something we can touch on in future is the dynamic between the 8th Doctor and Charlie in Big Finish, which is probably the strongest dynamic they've had in that for the future.
Absolutely, yeah, there's more to get into, yeah. But for me, the 10th Doctor doesn't get good until Rose leaves, buggers off, because I think they're both just irritating together. So that's probably my opinion. I love that for the second series of Doctor Who, don't get me wrong, some great stuff there, but I find together they bring up the worst qualities in each other. Rose is so much better when she's a 9th Doctor companion. There you go, that's my opinion. So, we said we're going to talk about some other content. So, what are we going to cover coming up? What do you want to discuss in future episodes, Ben?
So, we are going to be taking a look at the 8th Doctor Big Finish, as we've previously mentioned, defending some of the more lesser-loved stories, shall we say.
I think we're going to take a classic Doctor Who story, aren't we, that is not adored.
Yeah.
And we're going to put our own positive spin on it, certainly.
Yeah. We are also going to be having a look back over the 13th Doctor era so far and how it's progressed and how we think it might properly end, retrospectives over particular characters and more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to pick some of our favourites. Each podcast won't be looking back at a particular story. As much as we're going, you know, that's fun to do, and we're definitely going to do that. We are going to tackle some wider themes and discussions around Doctor Who, you know, go into some of the Big Finish stuff, look at particularly recurring themes, look at maybe like a certain type of villain or the master or something like that. But we'll do some classic ones as well. We're going to look at pick a classic story. We decided we're going to pick a classic story that's not that much loved and put a positive spin in it. So, but I think we'll probably pick some really good stories. So let's say, so if I was saying, what story would you love to cover in detail on this podcast?
Of any story?
Yes.
Heaven Sent is definitely one.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Oh, so we should tackle the whole trilogy. We'll go.
Yeah.
So let's do that. Well, so we're going to Face the Raven, Heaven Sent, and Hellbent, which is an interesting one because I absolutely adore Heaven Sent. Like you, it's one of the best things the Doctor has ever done. Hellbent, at the time being a little bit disappointed with something, so it'd be good to kind of reevaluate that one. I think for me, we'll look at some classic stuff as well. I'm going to put it out there. Let's cover Seeds of Doom. Let's do the Seeds of Doom, cover the whole of that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so that's good. So we've got a lot to cover there. So we're going to cover some stories, and we're also going to cover some wider themes and discussions around Doctor Who, not just the TV show as well. So hopefully you'll be on board and enjoy what we have to say. I think we've got a lot to say, haven't we?
Yes, indeed we do. And hopefully you will enjoy it and not be put off by the controversial opinions I've already stated. Because trust me, I have a lot more where that came from.
But you've got a lot of love, and I think that's one thing. Sometimes, you know, as winning fan bases, there's a lot of sides to the discussion, and I think we're going to try and keep this largely positive, aren't we?
Not to say we won't, genuinely have criticisms on some stories, because we will. There might be some we find underrated or overrated, but we'll try and keep it nice and light, something that you'll like to listen to.
Yeah, there's going to be absolutely, there's going to be critique on there. We're going to critique what works and what doesn't work, but I think we're going to, you know, we love Doctor Who, so we're going to try and keep this as kind of quite positive too, isn't it? Yeah. So that's kind of where we are then. So next time, what are we going to discuss? What are we going to discuss for our first full episode?
I feel we are going to be trying to defend Time Lash as our first.
We're going to straight for Time Lash, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. We're going straight in for it.
Let's go straight. We're going to. Okay, Time Lash. That's an interesting one. I actually quite like a bit of Time Lash, too. So, all right. So next time, we're going to defend Time Lash, and then we'll see how we get on from there. So, thank you for joining us on our primer episode. And remember, we are part of the We Made This podcast network. Please subscribe to the TARDIS crew and give us a rating and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like to help our network, please consider supporting us on Patreon too by going to patreon.com/WeMadeThis. And Doctor Who is not all we'll be discussing, so we'll give you a taste of what else you might have missed on the network in a moment. Next time, we'll be taking a look at the much maligned Time Lash and seeing if we can kind of reevaluate it with a new eye. So join us again for the TARDIS crew, because somewhere there's danger, somewhere there's injustice, somewhere else the tea's getting cold.
Elsewhere on We Made This.
The X-Cast, an X-Files podcast.
One of the interesting things about Carter's work as a writer and director, and again, this is something that I consider, personally, I'm not speaking as anybody with any theological expertise, to be clear, but just something that when I see it in his work, I think this is something I associate with Catholicism and my religious faith, or the religious faith I used to have and kind of still never really kind of let go of, is Carter's preoccupation with the idea of sin, redemption, and in particular, forgiveness.
Free with this month's issue.
I went for quite a few years in a row to Leeds Festival, where there seemed to be riots following us wherever we went for a few years.
Yeah, there was a riot at the one I went to, I remember. Yeah.
Well, me and Sarah, our first festival was Leeds 2000, where there was a riot in the field that we were sleeping in.
Because sleep is important and nothing is going to get in the way of my sleep. I need to clarify this.
We decided that if we didn't open the tent and look outside, we would be okay. Yeah. And then the next morning, opened the tent, and surrounding our tent were burnt tents and an entire row of toilet cubicles that had been burnt to the ground.
Wow.
So I like to think they thought, wow, if they think this is not worth leaving the tent for, we don't want to mess with these people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're that committed to sleep. Let's not f*** with them. They must be serious business.
Pick a disc.
That was just before you trialled a fan line into the modem to get...
Oh, man. How much trouble I got in downloading music and giving the family computer, like, computer cancer, trying to go through... Because I had a very religious home, so on my MP3 player, The Black Parade, actually, I changed the titles because I wasn't allowed to really listen to rock music. So The Black Parade was like the Jesus Parade, and I changed the names and stuff. So if my mom saw me listening, I was like, there's no album art. I know exactly what the songs are.
Check out all of these shows and more on the We Made This podcast network.